with the actual message. I wanted to say that we had been talking one time in the elders, I think it was an elders meeting, maybe it was a breakfast. You know, there's different ways that we could have the communion be distributed. I had mentioned that at the corporate pastors meetings that the way we have communion there is we take the bread and a cup gets passed around and you dip the bread into the wine and into the grape juice and then after everybody has done that, then there's a blessing over both. And then it's eaten. So I just wanted to say that if at any point in time in the future here that the people that are doing the communion service, if you feel led to serve the communion in that way, let's not be one. You know, is this right? Is this okay to do? Yeah, it is okay. Okay, is everybody clear on that? So as the, you know, it was just like what Reggie was saying, you know, we think that there's a certain way that something has to be done and there's these rules and then you see Jesus not really, he never breaks the heart of a rule, but he does things in a different way, doesn't he? And it really gets down to the heart of the matter, right?
Yes.
It's a person's heart. And so I just wanted to say that because I just think that maybe sometime, somewhere, somebody is going to present communion to be that way. And I don't want anybody feeling like, we don't do it this way. Well, maybe we don't in the past, but we can do it that way. Is everybody clear on that? So at least everybody that's here today will know that, if that ever happens. Okay. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. You know, last week, the message was about, you know, you're going to serve somebody, right?
Right.
And in fact, we're serving somebody even right now. Yeah, moment by moment, you're serving somebody, aren't you? Aren't I? We're either serving ourselves, dark ideas of things, or we're serving the Lord, and so it was a choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. But as for me and my house, yes, amen. We are going to serve the Lord, and I think that's an important thing for us, and that we continue to remember that if we continue to serve sin. Right? Then we're a slave to sin.
That's right.
And I think that we want to be the Lord's servants, not sin's servants. And we want to be very well aware of that. And so if this whole idea of serving, we serve the Lord, we serve our King, we serve our Savior, right? And it's all well and good that we should do this after what He's done for us.
Yes.
And I think all of us in our hearts are very thankful that God's plan was to save a sinful world. And that it isn't a complicated thing. Again, it's a heart matter where we see that we can't earn our way, and we see that God knew that, and He accepts us where we're at, and wants us to come to him, and those of us that do that, we have been born again and we're now part of God's family. And because we're part of God's family, then he begins to treat us as sons and daughters. And sometimes we need a whack on the behind. Other times we need coaxing. Other times just the overwhelming love that we sense from our Heavenly Father is enough for us to say, I don't want to keep going in this direction. I want to get closer to you, God. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
For all, every single person here, right? Do we need to get up and stretch? I'm just saying that because I want your minds alive. Okay?
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, I coined a word. I coined a word over between last Sunday and this Sunday. The word is nanocognate. Now, I've talked about metacognating, thinking about what you're thinking. You know, analyzing, seeking, contemplating about the thoughts that are coming and where they're coming from and how that affects you and if you allow certain thoughts to affect your emotions in a certain way, where is that going to take you? That's metacognating. It's a deep level of thinking, right? And then there's just regular cognating. You know, just thinking about different things that are happening and you respond. And so I made up another one called nanocognating. And if you know what a nanoparticle is, what's a nanoparticle? It's a little tiny, tiny little thing. It's hardly even there. We don't want to be people that nanocognate, where there's very, very little thought that's going on in our brains. Otherwise, it's just the limbic system of our brain, the emotional response, fight or flight kind of responding that we have. And a lot of times I have to deal with this when I'm watching TV and I want to fight. You know, I want to go after somebody because of what they're saying.
Amen.
You know, you understand.
Yes.
You know, because, and some of that is not good. I'm nanocognating in a certain way because I'm just responding. But there is a thing about truth. That's important too. And I think that for people that are born again, we want truth. We want justice. We want righteousness. We want all the things that I'm afraid we're going to have to wait for in its fullness until the time that Jesus himself comes. This is why it's kind of hard in the days that we're living in. Because we want a candidate that is a strong Christian, every decision is right. We're looking for that perfect candidate, and you know what? There isn't any, and it's frustrating when we go to vote because we're always having to choose the lesser of two evils. Because the kingdoms of this world, that's what they are, including the United States. Because the God of this world, and this is kind of a review from last week almost, the God of this world is controlling the world. And he controls it through the governments. He controls it through where people's hearts are. And it's... it's oppressive, it's evil, it's anti-Christ, yes?
Yes.
So there's not anybody in the world who's ever been in government who's been so wonderfully perfect. Yeah. So it's important for us that as we think about what's coming up here in the fall, we have an election. We aren't going, don't go looking for a candidate that is so perfect, because you're not going to find one. But we don't want to not do our civic duty either by saying, oh, I'm not even going to vote because there's nobody there I want to vote for. Because we could get the worst of the candidates if we don't vote. This is just a little plug for you to vote this fall. And if you don't think that it matters, if you think God already has chosen who he wants, and that that's who the person's going to be, I think you want to think about your theology. Because God doesn't always get what he wants. Eventually he gets what he wants, but he doesn't always get what he wants. We'd all be saved. God wills that all should come. All should be saved. Come to Christ. Is he going to get that?
No.
Why?
Choices.
And so God wants the best for all of us in this world, in this rotten, stinking world, doesn't he? He wants us to have the right person in the right spot. And for some reason, people years ago made comments, and we kind of accepted them. Oh, well, God's going to get what he wants. Yeah, whoever gets there is who, you know, the scripture says, you know, that he sets up some and he pulls down some. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Right? Now, the whole point of all of this is that we have choices that we make in this country. This isn't a monarchy. Well, wait a minute. It's starting to get that way. But it's important for us that we vote. Yeah?
Yes.
Do you think so?
Yes.
Because it's going to affect the next few years. Who's going to be in office? What you and I are going to have to live with until Jesus comes. Until the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. Yeah. We all want Jesus to come, don't we?
Yes.
Come, Lord Jesus. What's that?
Even so come.
Even so come.
Waiting for her groom.
Now,
amen.
I know. I mean, that was so perfect, that song. I'm going to come back to it when we actually read some words in the scripture about it. Matthew chapter 6. So, what we're really talking about here, choosing who we're really going to serve in this life and being serious about it. We serve the living Christ. We have a responsibility on all levels of life to be listening to Him and serving Him, right? And so He's our King. That's part of what it is. It isn't just some title that we have for Jesus. He's our ruler. He's the one we what? Serve.
Yes.
Okay, so here it says this, and it's the Lord's Prayer. I was going to bring this toward the end of the message last week, and I didn't. And then Chris Walter says to me afterwards, he said, you know, the Lord's Prayer would have been really good. He says, I wanted to bring that up. And I said, oh, I had that written down, but then I didn't sense to go toward it. I said, maybe the Lord's going to open that up for the beginning of this week. And that's exactly what's going to happen here. That's what I felt the Lord wanted me to do. So it's Matthew chapter 6, verse. Let's just read the whole Lord's Prayer, and then I'm going to focus in on one particular spot. After this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us
from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now there's a lot to be said there. In verse 10, one of the things that we should be doing when we pray is praying for his kingdom to come. Well, what does that mean? Now, we know that the kingdom of God is within. We know that, don't we? That when we become born again, there's something that God gives us that we're translated from the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of the kingdoms of this world, and we now are a citizen of the kingdom of God, and it's within us. And this is what's going on right now for us, is the fact that God wants us to live as citizens of his kingdom, which means a changing of the way we think and our actions and making the better choices and being and when we mess up, that we cry out to God and ask God for his forgiveness, because he will be faithful and just to
forgive us
our sins. And that he's always there for us. He's wonderful. He's loving. He wants to bring us to a better place, doesn't he? And that place is his kingdom. And it's going to start here, up here and here, right? It's here where it begins.
Now, there was something. Wait a minute. I wrote something down here. I want to make sure I don't. There was something you were saying, Steve. Where's Steve? You were saying something about Hamilton, Ontario. What, can you just refresh me what you said about Hamilton? I wrote Hamilton down.
That the town had fallen apart because the industry of steel had fallen down. And so the people got together, and some of the pastors and the churches got together.
Yes.
Trying to heal up things. And
yes. Keep going, because I know there was something here.
Through a spiritual awakening in the community.
That was what it was, yeah.
Yeah, now what you said was that there had to be a spiritual awakening before anything else was going to happen in the community, right? And isn't that the same in any community? If a community is in a dark place, it needs a spiritual awakening. It needs people who already have the kingdom of God inside them expressing it.
Right?
Yes. Getting out there, and people were saying, you know, working in hospitals or going into the schools or any of those kinds of things. And we have enough of a retired population in this group that we could do that, couldn't we?
Yeah.
A little more than what we're doing. I think this is important. I told you that I had one class at the college that I was teaching. I didn't want to teach anymore. I just wanted to, you know, relax. I'm retired. I just wanted this little thing for a little bit of extra money. And they offered me some extra classes, and I turned it down. Because I didn't want to do it, you know? But then the Lord got a hold of me and said, I want you in that college. And I want you to, I'm going to use you to speak to a number of people, your students in that college. You take those courses. I went right back the next day and I said, yeah, I will take it. And they were all happy that I was going to do it. So church isn't the only place where we have church.
That's right.
Right?
Yes.
The church building or the Sunday morning should not be the only time we think about spiritual things or talk about spiritual things. We are going to be used in the community because the kingdom that is within needs to be expressed in an outward way.
Yes.
Don't you? Do you believe that?
Yes.
Okay, and so he's going to use you and me. It doesn't have to be some grand thing. But just be available. We were, who had their hand up?
All right, I'll just 1 minute. Thursday we went down. We were down in Concord. It was Kathy's birthday, and we went to Longhorns. And when we got to Longhorns, we noticed while we were sitting in our booth that this young waitress was leading an older couple to another booth, and she was very, very, very conscious of how slow it took the older couple to get to follow her. And so she didn't just walk way out ahead. She controlled her walk, and she looked over her shoulder and talked to them. And brought them to where they needed to go. Well, it really impressed us that she was that kind to this older couple. And so afterwards, as we're leaving, she was up near the door, and Kathy told her how impressed we were about how kind she was. Well, tears welled up in her eyes, you know, and she needed that. You know, it was just a little thing, you know. And I said something about, like, you let your light
shine,
and it was noticed, and I could see her tearing up some more. This, it's these little things out in the world where the kingdom of God, you know, that bright light, when things are so dark, the light just really shines. We don't think it might be much of anything, but for people that are walking around in the darkness, and maybe even Christians that are out in a world that's where they're surrounded with the darkness, it can do something to them, right? Isn't that great?
Yes.
You know, and this is what God wants from us, is to allow our light to so shine that, you know, that they're going to see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. Right? Hallowed be His name. And then further down it says in verse 13, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." There's going to come a time when there's going to be an eternal kingdom that's going to be set up. It's going to begin on this earth, and it's going to last 1,000 years, and then there's going to be a final judgment. And then we're going to go into the eternal kingdom of God. Amen. Kingdom of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
It's going to happen at some point in time. We should be encouraged about that. Yes. Amen. What do you know? What can you tell me about this? Why should we want this kingdom? What do you know about the kingdom that would make you want to be there? Wait a minute. One at a time. Scott?
It just says it's going to be good. It's going to hurt.
There's something good about it.
Yeah.
Anything? Come on. Keep going.
Be led by Jesus.
Jesus is going to be there. We are going to see Jesus. We're going to see Jesus.
Amen.
Face to face. That'll get you to change some things, you know. That'll smarten us up a little bit. If we take enough time to metacognate about that, when you and I, at some point in time, we're going to see Jesus.
Amen.
Face to face. He's going to see us all individually, face to face. Now that's pretty darn overwhelming, powerful. That should make us want to change, want to allow His kingdom, which is He as the King, coming forth through us to a dark world. Yes?
Yes.
You're very cool. Anything else about that? Yes? I get tears in my eyes when I think about that. There will be no tears or sorrow anymore.
No pain.
No pain.
No oppression.
Oh, what?
No oppression.
No oppression. Nobody trying to force their will on you and to your hurt. See, that's not going to happen anymore.
Only love, peace, joy.
Peace and joy and love. All the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, man. We. And think about this. You already have this inside you. You can tap into that because the kingdom of God is within.
No temptation
of this. No opening to temptation. All of this is gone, and I want you to know that though the greatest manifestation of it is yet to come when the Lord Himself comes back to establish this kingdom solidly on this earth and destroy the kingdoms of this world, that is going to be one glorious day.
Yes.
But even so now, we can experience the kingdom of God in our hearts. How important is that for a dark world? If we're going to minister to a dark world, then we should be moving in more light, shouldn't we?
Yes.
Hallelujah. And they're going to notice it quicker than the rest of us do about each other. You know that? Are you with me on this? All right, now I'm going to jump up quickly. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation 5. Let me just mention something about this king of ours. Chapter 5, Revelation. Verse 1, I'm going to read several verses. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a book written inside and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel. What comes to your mind? What comes to your mind? I see an angel that's probably 15 foot tall, and his arms are as big as my legs, or maybe even bigger than that. I mean, strong, you know. Would you say, Rich?
I'm going to say he'd be 15 feet tall. That's pretty skinny, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, well, you know. All right, as big as my torso. You know what the heart of what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
And really, this is this powerful angel, okay, this strong angel proclaims with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven. Oh, that's an interesting thing, isn't it? No man in heaven? No man in heaven, nor in the earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to even look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, don't weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Well, who's that Lion of the tribe of Judah?
Jesus.
Jesus, our King, right? He's the only one that was worthy, right? And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a Lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sits on the throne. Can you imagine that? Oh my gosh. This person, of course we know it's Jesus, this person walks up to the throne of glory where the Father of the whole universe is sitting. And he is worthy to take the book out of his hand. That's our King. He takes the book. And then it says, when he had taken them in verse 8, when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, every one having harps and golden vials full of fragrances, which are the what?
Praise.
The prayers of the saints. Isn't that, it's kind of interesting, isn't it? That our prayers are a fragrance to God. Isn't that neat? Our incense to God. I think that's pretty cool.
Yes.
And they sang a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. You were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hast made us unto our God to be kings and priests, and we will reign on the earth." This is the kingdom. This is one, an aspect of the kingdom. We're going to, as it says in another part of Revelation, we're going to rule and reign with him. Now, some people think, well, what do we have to get ready for? We're already saved. Why do we need to get ready? Here's one of the things we need to get ready. We need to be ready to rule and reign with him. Does God put some kind of tube and stick it into our belly button and then breathe in and change us that way? Or does he woo and we choose to change? How's that happen? It's his power, but we have to choose, don't we?
Yes.
And so this is part of what we're in right now. We're kings and priests in training for this kingdom that's going to come. Isn't that something?
Yes.
Now, if you think about that, and you start to have some dark thoughts, or something's going on, and you react in a bad way, or you're about ready to act in a bad way, and you go, "No, wait a minute, no, this isn't worth me taking away time that I could be moving in the Lord and strengthening his kingdom." Yeah. Do you think like that, or do you think that's stupid? Do you think that's stupid to think like this?
No.
You think that that's naive to think like that?
No.
You see, we have a renewing of our minds that we have to do. We need to be ready for this new kind of thing that's going to happen in the earth. Because there is a kingdom, and Jesus is coming, and we're going to see him face to face, and we should not now cognate this. We should be thinking about this and go, "Wow, I want to be ready for that." Yeah? Do you?
Yeah.
That really, some of these thoughts really helped me this week when I was ready to go in the direction I knew I should have gone. I can't say that I won every battle. But it helps when you have that goal in front of you and you put yourself in that way and say, no. Reacting in this way is not getting me closer to the King, is not promoting the kingdom of heaven. I am not going to be that kind of person any longer. God, take my mind and help me to think the right way. Renew my mind, O God.
Yes.
And give me the strength to be able to carry it out Amen?
Yeah.
And we have to be serious about this. This isn't some little religious exercise where we say things in front of other Christians, but then never really allow God to do what he has to do inside us. I'm sick of that. So there. Let's go. I guess I'm going to do this. Go to Matthew. Now we'll go back to Matthew, and we're going to go to Matthew 24. Because I find that this is important. Matthew 24 again. And you know, at the beginning of Matthew 24, the disciples are asking him, what are the signs of when you're going to come? When are you going to establish the kingdom? When are you going to bring about your kingdom? And so Jesus goes through a whole series of things, doesn't he? You know, if I would have kept on going back there in Revelation, in Revelation it says that after he took the book, that he opened the seals. Yeah? What happened when he opens the seals? What happened? What happened when he opened the first seal? What happened?
Horses came up.
Yeah, there was these four. You have to go. Yeah. Okay.
I think they're rather John.
Let's pray right now. That's something. Her brother has a stroke, and then she asks, and then she says she's sorry. She has to leave. You know, that is really.
Well, Lord, we just continue to bless over there.
Yes. Got it.
Okay. So the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Jesus opens the seals, and the first four seals are four not so great things. In fact, there's a lot of things that weren't so great as those seven seals were opened up. Isn't that right? He had the right to allow for the kingdoms of this world now to come to its final conclusion by having these final things start happening in the world. Only he could initiate that, right? Because he's the king of the kingdom that's going to replace all these other kingdoms. Isn't that right?
Yes.
And so Jesus goes and says, okay, well, before my kingdom comes, here are some of the things that are going to happen. And he goes through the list, and you know, we all know them, and he talks about watch out for the deception, don't be deceived, and that's how he starts things off, and he talks about the wars and rumors of wars, and nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and famines and pestilences and earthquakes in many different places. These are just the beginning of sorrows. These are all things that Jesus said was going to happen before this kingdom is going to come. And then he goes on. And they're going to deliver you up to be afflicted and kill you, and you'll be hated of all the nations for my name's sake. And it goes on, and there's many, many false prophets. And then in verse 13 says, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same will be saved. Verse 14, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. He does not say the gospel of salvation is going to be preached. That's been preached for 2,000 years. the gospel of salvation. He says the gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached. So I get the impression that the Lord, though we never get away from salvation and bringing people to Christ as in a born-again experience, but I think the emphasis that's going to start happening in the church, and maybe this is like part of the beginning of it, I don't know, for us, is that we understand that it's the gospel of the kingdom that people need to hear at the end of the age. It's the gospel of the kingdom. That doesn't exclude salvation, but it does include talking about Jesus is coming. He's coming. This man God. Right? This Messiah. This God, Word of God, made flesh, came into the world, ascended up, died, was resurrected, ascended up into heaven. He's there at the right hand of the Father until the Father says it's now time. And when that time came, right close to when the time came, he's the one that stands up, takes the book and opens the seals thereof, and things start happening, and we're to be ones that are alive and awake and are ready and understand what's going on and are doing what we're supposed to do to prepare ye the way of the Lord. You getting this? Yeah, that's exactly right. And then there's going to come a time where he is going to come and establish that very kingdom that's already started in our hearts. Praise the living God. I say all of this because things aren't going to be easy. We're going to live through some of these things. Not all of them, thank God. But there's certainly a probability we can live through some of this. Yeah. So
it's not like a movie where you can just fast food forward through the end.
You can't. No, you can't. No, you can't.
You know, all the bad parts. Just gotta skip by the bad parts.
Yes.
It isn't like that.
So this gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached into all the world. Jesus is coming. It isn't that he came, died for our sins, and now he's in heaven, and things are just going to keep on going like this for another 2,000 years. No. The gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached. We need a Savior, and guess what? He's coming real soon. And you and I are going to stand before him. Yeah. We're going to see him face to face. Hallelujah. And it's going to be a kingdom that's way, way, way greater than any kingdom that you could hope for in this world. Isn't that right?
Yes.
That's what needs to be preached. More and more and more. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached into all the world for a witness unto all the nations, and then the end is going to come. I'm waiting for the end of all of this, aren't you? I'm tired of it. I'm waiting for Jesus right now. I wish he would come right now. So, Lord, I just pray today that we be people that aren't just looking for smooth things, easy things, but Lord, that we're about our Father's business, that we too would overcome as Jesus did to do the will of the Father. We pray that we could be those people, truly, in our hearts. We say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And like a bride that's waiting for her husband, that we really be a church
that is truly ready for you. Without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. That this could be something that could actually be lived and not just talked about. Thank you, Lord, today. We love you with all our heart. You alone are worthy of all of our praise.